Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia, yes. We couldn't even get through the intro. I'm looking at my wife and she can't even roll through it. Julia, how are you doing today?
It's great. Beautiful day out. Oh, I love it.
What are we talking about today?
We have a great guest that I actually want you to introduce.
Leah J.M. Dean is the author of the best-selling book, Assemble the Tribe, and an expert on leading with the tribe mindset. She is a former chief human resources executive and board member who, for more than 20 years, successfully led multiple billion-dollar people integrations, developed leading HR strategies, and increased employee engagement. As the founder and CEO of Conduit International Limited, Leah has worked with organizations and executives across numerous industries, including insurance, reinsurance, education, not-for-profit, and business consulting. On a mission to create a more connected world, Leah uses science and a proprietary group research with over 1,200 women to help her audiences confidently navigate life and leadership with authenticity, courage, and heart. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you both for having me. I am so excited to have this conversation with you.
It is so nice to have you on. And I have to start out by saying, I just absolutely adore your accent. I think it's just beautiful. I just have to go there. It's just one of my favorites.
A little bit of British, a little bit of Ireland. We're a mix of everything. We're, if you think North Carolina, you're straight out into the ocean, 700 miles, and there we are. Bermuda is another world, 700 miles at sea.
So first beautiful. Question I want to ask you, how did you get into what you're doing? I mean, give us a background of your story.
Let me go all the way back. I'll give you a little bit of a flavor for both childhood, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So I live on the island of Bermuda, and as a child, my parents, who are quite adventurous, they decided that they wanted us to have a unique childhood. So we moved to an island, and this will resonate for you guys. We were homeschooled. I was homeschooled until I was 8. And so we were on this island. It was a campground. And so during the summer months, hundreds and hundreds of people would descend on this island, this little 23-acre island. And then in the winter months, there was no one. But what I got to observe during those summer months is my parents, they threw our doors open and they welcomed strangers and friends alike. And so with this idea of tribes and being open, I really got the opportunity to see my parents model what it looked like to be open to people who were different from you. And so that was, I think, one of the beautiful things about my childhood. Anyway, fast forward very quickly, we moved off the island when I was about 10. I graduated from high school in Bermuda, traveled to New York, and finished my undergrad and master's degree. Came back home, my husband proposed, came back to Bermuda, and entered the insurance, reinsurance industry, which is one of the two pillars of the economy in Bermuda. We have tourism and we have international business. Mm-hmm. And so by, I think, luck, but probably, I think I was lucky, but I somehow ended up not in insurance, which is what I studied, but HR. Mm. And as I think about it today, it was a very natural transition. If you think about my story of assembling the tribe, because what do HR people do, right? They help attract, engage, develop, reward, and bring together corporate tribes. And so I worked in the industry for about 20 years, all the way up through executive management and board level. And then I decided, you know what? It's time to take a little bit of a break. And I think that comes from my own value system, having had my mom spend so much time with us and really missing that with my own kids. So I decided, you know what? Let me take a year or two off and I'm going to spend time with my kids and write a book. Well, after writing the book, which we released last year in December, as I talked to people and a few folks called me and I started to coach and do some work in my quote unquote downtime, I realized that I wasn't ready to get back into the corporate world. And so I founded Conduit International. And so now I speak, I run programs, I coach, And I still run the events that I started back in 2017. So it's just, it's really been a natural progression that I think makes sense for the story of my life. I think I was born to assemble tribes.
Mm-hmm. So real quick for me, the first question that comes to mind when you're assembling a tribe, core values, I mean, these tribes and especially the HR, do you find that to be invaluable? Because when we were scaling up our multifamily business, we needed core values. We needed a mission statement. So where do you start when you want to start building a tribe?
There's a lot of places that I would start. But if I was talking about in the corporate context, I absolutely think what I would call artifacts of culture, vision, mission, strategy, values. And the values are important because the values teach us how to treat each other and what the behaviors look like on a day-to-day basis. So one of the things that I always do when I'm working with new leaders is I have an exercise that we run through. What are your values? Because those are the things that teach you how you're going to show up as a leader, how you're going to lead your team, how you're going to navigate some of the conflict that invariably will happen. And so for me, because one of my values is actually tribe, it's very important to me that I am both building healthy, healthy tribes, both individually and in a group setting, and also participating in them in a healthy way. So I think it's really important.
My wife just lit up. She's like, we're not talking real estate anymore because now we got values. We ain't gonna we're going from business to like
business, but so every time we talk, he talks business. I always throw in, well, it's the same as family. It's the same as, you know, that you have like this business going on at home. And it's how are you creating that tribe at home? How are you assembling the tribe at home? Because those people are gonna go out into the world and make a difference. Do you know what I mean? So we have 6 children. You have 2 beautiful teenagers. Is that right? 2 teenagers.
That is right.
They're all going out. So between the two of us, we have a lot of people going out into the world and making a difference. So how are we, and I'm asking this to you, Leah, is how are you teaching them values?
It's a really great question. And I'll answer by telling you a story about, I don't know, 10 years ago, my brother who produces websites or used to produce websites for different local vendors on the island, he came home and he was working with an artist and she was producing, I guess it's almost like a family crest. And so we were having this conversation about the crest and I started to think, well, what would I put on my crest if I had the opportunity to create one? And around the same time, I started working at a really great company who was very clear about their values. I could see it play out in the way that they treated and talked to each other. And so I said, it would be interesting if I could figure out what my own personal values were. I do it quite quickly with my clients now, but I kid you not, I took 7 years to figure them out. I would put things on and take them off because I really wanted to figure out what are the values that I want my children to leave with. Now they are going to discover their own values as they, you know, travel the world and experience new things. But I want them to remember that when I was at home, my mom taught me about trust. She taught me about tribe. She taught me about excellence. She taught me about kindness. She taught me about resilience. And so I teach those to my kids, both verbally, like here's what they are for me, but also more importantly, how I show up every day. And they push back. Like I talked to my son about excellence one day and he said, Mom, does everything have to be excellent? Sometimes okay is good enough. And so we had a really good conversation about that. And I think as parents, when we're clear about what our values are, when we're clear about what's important, then we're giving our kids some extra tools to navigate the world.
Julia, can you humor me for 1 minute?
Sure.
I want to share this with everybody because I think this is important for adults, especially. I love Stephen Covey. His second habit is start with the end in mind. Now I want everybody who's listening to this to close their eyes and think of yourself at your own funeral. Start with the end in mind. And I, you know, was doing this with my team and I told him, no. Listen, I told him I have 6 children around me. I have 27 grandchildren around me. Right. And everyone is talking about me in a specific way. So how do you want to be remembered? Right. And then you reverse engineer that. That's how you create your values. I want to be remembered as somebody who's honest, who's hardworking, who's there for their kids, who's a great spouse, and the list goes on and on. Reverse engineer that. What do I need to do today to get that moving forward? That is how I create my value system, or that's how anyone listening to this can create their value system. If they're conflicted, I want to be known as somebody who helped hundreds of people, who donated millions of meals to children in need, to create a Jake and Gino community that's helped thousands of people leave their W-2 jobs, to help their kids go through college and become really responsible adults who want to have a lot of kids on their own. So what do I need to do? That's just my story. I want everyone who's listening to that, think about what you want to do at the end of your life and reverse engineer that.
You know, that's actually really important. And, you know, it's interesting that you said it took you 7 years, because a lot of the times we never actually think about it. Yes. We're in a career and they have the values, just like you said, but we never think to make them for home, have a home values crest, something at home where people actually, the kids can read it and know it and apply it. And we're practicing it, and we are the example for them. And so what happens is sometimes they become our example as they get a little bit older, which is kind of, it's amazing when the kids get a little older and then it's like, oh my gosh, I just
learned. Girls start to reverse.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I actually never thought about it until recently as well. And I never actually sat down and thought, okay, what are the values? What are we teaching our children? We're just living the days and we're not paying attention to them. So this is a great opportunity for everyone listening, is to sit down, think about the values that you want to leave. And I think that's great.
Yeah. My son will be leaving my house in about 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about him going out into the world, it really makes me pause. What am I imprinting on him? What am I teaching him? Because in 3 years, he will be gone. And it's not to say I won't have an opportunity, but it'll never be the same. So what can I do to prepare him? And I think as parents, if we're not thinking about it, we need to start thinking about it. It's really important.
Love that.
Yeah. It's also hard too, is that you have these values at home, but at the same time, you all have your different uniqueness and the kids have their own uniqueness. So it's kind of like you're trying to figure out how to incorporate everyone at the same time, right? It's a challenge, definitely, as a parent.
Love that. But why do we now need our tribes, and why a book for women?
So I'll answer why a book for women first. I wrote a book for women because I am a woman. Mm-hmm. I think I'm an expert on HR, but I'm also an expert on women. And the thing that I want your listeners to remember is that the idea of assembling our tribes and a lot of the concepts are not gender specific. But there are some reasons why I think we need to focus on tribes. And I'll talk about women as my third R. I call it my 3 R's. So the first reason why I think we need our tribes now more than ever is relationships. Mm-hmm. The pandemic has pushed us inside. It's pulled us apart. And there is a lot of data around the need to have healthy, connected relationships. People who are isolated and lonely, it increases their likelihood and susceptibility to certain diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure and certain mm-hmm. cancers. And so the fact that we have been involuntarily pulled apart, the data would suggest that our relationships are just so important right now because of what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. The second reason why I think we need tribes more than ever is, you know, in my research with the women, 1,200 women, there was quite a lot of information that came back around rejection, and that, you know, many women at very, very young ages experienced rejection in female groups. And so that's something that's unique to women. If you also look at some of the dynamics that happened last year around the world with, you know, the Black Lives Matter, like there was just lots of reasons why people were feeling disconnected and rejected. So again, I think that's another reason why we need to focus on our relationships. And then last but not least, I think, which is again, why I think the book is so powerful for women, because of the pandemic, it's having a disproportionate impact on women and their role in the family. You know, mm-hmm. for the first time in years, instead of women are seeing an improvement of women moving into more senior roles, we're seeing women pull back and think about, do I need to come out of the workforce altogether? And, you know, whether we like it or not, women are the nurturers, they're the birth givers. And so there is a reliance that the world has on women. I'm not saying that it's better, but it is different. It is important. And so I think for those reasons, relationships, rejection, and reliance, this conversation about relationships and why we need them right now more than ever, I think it's an important conversation to have.
I love that answer. We often hear the word tribalism talk about in the press. It's talked about negatively, right? Why use this word? And what does that tribe mean to you?
I am so glad you asked me that question, because I have to tell you, I wrestled with whether or not I was going to use the word tribe. Mm-hmm. I started with Assemble the Tribe, and every couple of months, my husband or a friend would say, are you really sure you want to use that word? Like, really? And then I would watch the news and I would hear them talk about ranked tribalism. And so in order to kind of settle my mind, I went back and I actually studied the etymology and the history of the mm-hmm. word. And it has meant many things over the years to many different people. You know, there's multiple definitions in the dictionary. If you Google tribe, I think while I was writing the book, I got over 900 million results. And it's used to talk about everything from, you know, supplements to sports teams. It is just a very complex and layered word. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, I decided that that's actually the reason why the word is perfect. Because as human beings and people, we are complex and we are layered. And so what I did was I kind of wrote my own Leah definition, because I was just trying to simplify the complexity of it. And what I came up with was, a tribe is individually complex people with shared values, beliefs, and interests who choose to come together to create relationship. And there's three things in that definition that I would highlight. One is that people are complex. Mm-hmm. Two, that we need to choose. And so there's a real decision that we have to make about wanting to engage in health relationships. And then the last C is create, right? That means we got to put in some work. And so it's a hard word, but it is actually, I think, uniquely representative of the complexity of what we experience every day when we're navigating our relationships with people. And so what better word to use than the word tribe?
We started a company several years ago called Gino's Family for my restaurant. And that was sort of the same thing. We wanted to create a tribe of faith-based people who wanted to learn how to cook. And then from there, it morphed into Jake and Gino, which were buying real estate and multifamily. We're teaching people. And that tribe, that connection gives power. And people are all complex. People in their 20s, people in their 50s, young women, young men, older women, older men. And it's just amazing how you say that. It's complex. They have to choose. And the one that nobody wants to hear is they have to put work into it. Let's talk about that work a little bit, because people join Jake and Gino and they think, hey, I'm going to buy my next property, not doing any work. You have to put effort into the tribe, you know, become the seek to serve mentality, not give to get, but seek to serve for that tribe. Can you speak to that a little bit about that?
The work. Yes. Oh yeah. Work means different things to different people. And in the book, I talk about the processes for building tribes, right? So sometimes it's as simple as, what is a tribe that I want? What's my motivation? You know, how much effort and time do I have to put into it? Then I have to go out and I have to find people and I have to bring them together and be consistent. You know, a good example that I could share with you is during the pandemic, I started to notice that my friends, talking about isolation, some of them were feeling, you know, cut off. Those that had kids, they were pulling their hair out, those that did not have kids, they were lonely. And so I decided that I was going to create a tribe. And so once a month, we would get together and talk about issues that the women in this tribe cared about. Now, it required work. I had to organize it. I had to pull people together. I had to think about the topics. And so it wasn't necessarily an easy thing, because it required some effort, but the impact of putting in the work to bring folks together, I can tell you it has been worth it. And the other day, you know, somebody popped by and they said, hey, I was talking to somebody that comes to your tribe meetings. And they said to me that they were really feeling isolated and disconnected and lonely until they started to come to your tribe. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's a long way of saying, when we put in the work, when we give the best of who we are to people, when we connect with them and say, you matter, I think that is person by person, group by group, that is how we change the world. Now, I really oversimplified the process of how we bring people together. I get into great detail of it about it in the book, but I don't know, my experience is just that when we put in the work, when we invest the time, and we show up differently, you know, because people are complicated. They're not always going to say the right things, do the right things. But when we choose to give them as much grace as we would want to be afforded, I think that that changes the dynamic of how we engage in our tribes.
That is so beautiful. It's we can always be present with people, right? We're present with them, with our children, with our friends, with our girlfriends, they come over. But it does take that effort to listen, right? Because a lot of times we, especially women, we just want to talk. We want to tell our story. We want to talk about our experiences. And it's hard sometimes for us to sit back and actually listen to another person. But that is such a gift that you can give someone, because a lot of us are just never heard. And we could go, I mean, I've talked to women before that they actually would sit there and be like, I've never had someone sit and listen to me for a half hour, you know, and thank you. Like, I can't believe this. And it's such a gift. So that's my big thing out there right now, is it's a, all the listeners out there, there's someone out there that needs to be heard. Just, I it's just beautiful to watch someone be able to talk, be open, and be heard by you.
Yeah, one of the things that I talk about is just being inquisitive. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when we're starved for relationship, we just, as you said, we just want to share and talk. But when we're inquisitive about the other person, we're actually opening the door for a deeper relationship, because not only do they feel heard, they will be left with a view that you really value who they are, because you took the time to get to know them, to ask, to be inquisitive. And so when you want to find new connections, when you want to build your tribe, one of the things that we can do is to be more inquisitive about those that we wish to connect with.
Beautiful. And even sometimes it's the people living in our home. We forget about that. You know what I mean? Right, Gino?
I guess so, Julia.
Sometimes we forget that our husbands are sitting there waiting for us to just listen.
Julia?
Yes.
Seek first to understand, then to be understood, okay? I try to follow that. It's a hard one to follow, right? Because it's always about us.
It's a challenge. It can be.
To building the tribe. Yeah. Leah, I love this formula. Believe plus belong equals be different. Can you explain that to us?
So that is my simple but not so simple formula on how we build our tribes. And it was a formula that I came to. There's a story about how I actually inked the words in the book at the end, so I won't tell you that story. But the formula, to break it down, believe in your value, find belonging, be different. This is my formula for how I think we can all build our tribes with ease. So What I learned through the process of writing a book, and by the way, I thought I was writing a book about female groups. This book is not that. It does include some of it, but it turned out to be so much deeper. A tribe is bigger than these female groups. And one of the things I learned is that in order to have a healthy tribe, the first relationship that has to be healthy is the relationship that I have with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to believe that I have value, and value is its utility, its importance, its worth. And belief, interestingly enough, is a habit of the mind in which we build trust and confidence in a person or thing. So that means every day that I get up, I have to remember I have value, I have importance, I have worth, I have utility, and I have to tell myself that. And so when I walk into a room, instead of saying, I wonder what they're thinking about me, I'm thinking, what can I give to the room? What can I bring to this conversation? So that is really exciting for me. So that's the first part of the formula. The second part of the formula, after you've done the work on yourself, and I have, I think, two chapters dedicated to that in the book, the next part of the formula is to find places to belong and experience belonging. And I always, when I talk about this idea of belonging, I separate to belong from the belonging, because you can belong in a place, you can belong in a company, you can belong in a church, you can belong to a group, but not really feel the intimacy of the intimacy and the connection that comes from being a part of the group. So there is work. We talked about it earlier. There is work that we have to do both to find them, and then there's work that we have to do to keep them healthy. And then this is where it started to get a little bit interesting for me. So I believe in my value, find belonging. And then what tends to happen is when we find that belonging, most of us just stay there. And we actually start to exclude other people, which is not our intention, because we're investing in putting the work in. I think a lot of times that exclusion isn't sinister, mm-hmm. but because we found belonging, we start to close ourselves off. And so the real, I think, challenge or call to action of the formula is to allow your value and the belonging that you found to be different. Use those two things as a springboard to be open to new relationships. Worst case scenario, you might experience rejection, and you know, don't get me wrong, that does hurt. But best case scenario, you add some people to add to your tribe. And you know, just to add a quick story to that, I have a group of girlfriends. We've been friends. We've been meeting once a month for 20 years. And at about year 10, I started to feel lonely, which was weird for me. Because I said, listen, like, what's happening here? I've done the work. This is a healthy tribe. You know, we're thriving. Why do I feel lonely? And as I started to peel back the layers of what was happening in my life, I had moved into an executive level position and I was feeling vulnerable. And there were new people that I needed in my life to help me navigate this new space where I was. And so it wasn't that the tribe that I had wasn't healthy or it wasn't enough. I just needed new people to add to my tribe. And so one of the things that I always say to people is that we need multiple tribes sometimes to complete our sense of wholeness. And so that's, I think, the real power of the formula. Believe in your value. It starts with you. Find belonging. You have to find somewhere to connect. The research says if you want to live longer, you better find a tribe, and then leverage the heck out of that to be different, to be open, to connect to new people, to thrive in the relationships that you have. And so that's my formula.
I love that. Everyone needs to write this down, because I think this is truly powerful. What you said, your behaviors, right? Your behaviors are belief driven. If you believe you can do it, then you're going to take those behaviors that are going to warrant it, right? If I think I can buy a property, I'm going to bring it to real estate, and I think I can call the broker, and I think I can get the deal done, guess what? I'm going to pick that phone up. But if I don't think I can do it, I'm going to hem and haw, and I'm going to make excuses. And the other thing I think everyone should be out there should be thinking is gratitude. If you have gratitude and you wake up in the morning grateful, you won't feel as much fear in your life. You won't feel as much doubt, because gratitude crushes everything else. To me, when I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for the family. Those other things start to melt away and I feel the value that I have.
Yeah. Something that you said was really great. It's one of those things where we're so afraid of rejection that we avoid certain relationships in our life because we're always like, well, what if they reject us? And so we back away. We're not ourselves. We don't take that step out of our comfort zone. But the always the question I have is, what would you miss? If you, you know, if you think about a relationship you're in now, what would I have missed out on if I didn't just step out a little bit, be uncomfortable for a minute? What would I have missed out on? And so put that forward into your relationships going forward. You will miss out. I guarantee it's so beautiful. New relationships are so incredible. It's so worth it. Even if you're uncomfortable for a minute, just go all out. I hate being uncomfortable. I do. That's why I say that.
Yeah. And I think it's important, I think, for your listeners to know that I'm not suggesting that it is easy.
Yes.
You know, for some of us, we are, you know, in strengths language, like we're very extroverted or woo-woo and you don't mind meeting new people. And for some of us, you have a physical reaction to the idea of stepping out and starting new. Mm-hmm. And so I talk a little bit about the psychology of fear and I actually consulted with a psychologist because I am not. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we can do in order to navigate that, you know, take a buddy buffer, like find somebody to create some space for you, mm-hmm. you know, ask the questions, actually prepare questions because you know that this is uncomfortable for you. And there's more that I talk about in the book, but I just want to acknowledge for your listeners that it's not necessarily an easy thing, mm-hmm. but the thing that I want them to remember is that the data will show that if you do not have good quality relationships, you can increase your mortality on average by up to 29%. If you want to live longer, if you want to be happier, you have to have those relationships. And so if you agree with me, and this is not Leo, that's science. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you agree with me, then that becomes a foundation for why we navigate through that psychology of fear and put in the work to build the relationships.
I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, Wheelbarrow Profits family, are you struggling with ways of teaching your kids about money and financial literacy? Gino, I think we have something to help them. Tell them about it.
We've been hard at work creating the Jake and Gino Youth Academy. The Academy takes a deep dive into good money habits, setting up a budget, investing, taxes, the difference between an asset and a liability, and so much more. This is a great opportunity to spend time with your children, to be their role model when it comes to money and investing, and learn how to set them on the right path to financial success.
If you want more information on how you can become the next Youth Academy member, visit jakeandgino.com/education to begin your journey to financial freedom.
As we like to say at Jake and Gino, people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. Leah, I have to follow up on what you just said because it resonates with me tremendously. That's why I created the Jake and Gino community. The tribe, to me, and the community gives accountability. It holds people accountable. We have coaches there. I have an accountability coach and an expert coach just so that person is just too lazy to get the work done. They're not going to let their coach down. So that's what the tribe is supposed to do. It's supposed to hold each other accountable and work together. You know, in business, I'm going to throw a little business term in there, Jewel, if you don't mind. Your net worth is equal to your network. And I think mm-hmm. your network could be your tribe also. So if you're thinking of it from that perspective, getting together and trying to network and grow the tribe that way will also be so profitable for you in the long run. And those, it's not science to me, honestly, it's common sense. I mean, if you have a great relationship with somebody, you're going to feel better. You're going to get up in the morning. You have purpose. It's so much fun speaking to people and doing business people with who get business done with, enjoy. So to me, that just makes total common sense. It's not even science.
And like you said, it is effort. And we talk about it probably all the time, my husband and I, it's just every moment. You have an opportunity every moment, especially when you're together all the time. My husband works from home. So it's just like, we're always together. My kids are home. You know, it's
you're
just,
saying something?
There's That's a lot something. Going on all the time. So there's a lot of relationships that you're always working on. And it is hard. It is hard. Sometimes you just want to say something and move along and you have to sit and explain. And you know what I mean? It's a challenge. It's mm-hmm. a challenge at times, but it's worth it. we forget that it's not, you know, you don't just get married one day and live happily ever after. You have to work for it. Every conversation you have, the way you say things, if you have to connect, like you said, it's not just about listening and the way you speak. You literally have to connect with the person in order to have a really good, healthy relationship.
Anything worth having takes work.
That's right.
What's the number one piece of advice you'd give to a mom who's struggling with her daughter and her tribe?
So I have as I mentioned earlier, I have two teens. My daughter is a 13-year-old. And I think the thing that I would say to a mom is model what you want to see. Mm-hmm. You know, so many women in my research, they actually said, up to 54% of them said that they never had the opportunity to see positive relationships or positive groups in this instance, because this was my group research. Mm-hmm. They said, I never saw it. I never saw my mother or the people that she spent time with model healthy relationships. And so I really, you know, if you believe that your relationships are important, if you believe that the formula will help you get there, then teach it to your children, model that. Let them see you show up differently. So quick story, maybe right after last year, right after the first wave of sheltering in place, so we were able to go out, I took my daughter to the store to buy some clothes for the summer. And, you know, we picked up our clothes, I went to the cash register, and the woman who was behind the register, let's say long story short, she jumped on my throat and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And as we walked away, because I decided I was going to go to a different register, my first inclination was to be frustrated and verbalize that to my daughter. And something said to me, don't do that. And so that small voice, I listened to that voice. And what I decided to do after we left the store is I used it as an opportunity to talk about what we saw. Mm-hmm. And so I said to her, you know, we don't really know what was going on with that woman. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling nervous because I'm not quite ready to be back out, but you need something, so we're here. Maybe she's nervous because she has to serve people all day and she's worried that she might catch something. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe somebody in her family isn't well, we don't really know. And so because we don't know, there's a way that you can respond. Sometimes we can have I call them necessary conversations, and sometimes we just have to choose to let things go. And so in that moment, instead of kind of spending the entire afternoon talking about the woman and letting that moment ruin our time together, I chose to turn it into a teaching opportunity so that when she encounters another woman who is perhaps having a bad day, and all of us have them, then maybe she'll process that just a little bit differently. And so my number one piece of advice is the way you show up as a parent, that will imprint on your daughter and how she shows up in her relationships for many, many years to come. And so I think, you know, that's one of the most important things that we can do for our children.
I love that. Mm-hmm. What does the future hold for Leah?
I do not know, only God knows that, but I'm hoping that I can continue to share the book across the world. I've done some speaking, so hope to continue to do more of that, just talking to women's groups and organizations about the power of tribe. And later this year, I'll also be releasing my first leadership program called the Tribe Advantage. Actually, this is the first time that I've said that publicly. So breaking news for you guys today.
Getting real right now. All of a sudden, it was fake, and now you put it out there, and people heard you. So game on. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So I'm fully committed now. But that's what's next for me. Just continuing to share the message and to use, I think, all of the knowledge and information that I've amassed over the years to help prepare the next generation of leaders so that they can do it differently. And I'm excited about that.
How can the listeners get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
So if you are interested in the book specifically, you can head over to www.assemblethetribe.com. And that is the book page. It'll also take you right into my website, so you can find out more information about me there. I am also on Instagram. So if you want to kind of hang out with me and see what life looks like in the world of Leah J.M. Dean, that's actually where you can find me on Instagram, Leah J.M. Dean, and on LinkedIn. But I'm on all of the platforms, but I'm most active on LinkedIn and Instagram. So those are the places that I would suggest that folks come and hang out with me.
Love that. Beautiful. Final words before I recap?
No, you have a beautiful story, and I just want to thank you for putting yourself out, because it does take it, you know, you have courage, and I really applaud that, because it's hard sometimes to tell stories and to be real out in the world, isn't it? And so I just want to thank you for that, because we all need that. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's the stories that we tell ourselves that matter. And then the ones that we have the courage to share mm-hmm. with others that help to shape the world. So mm-hmm. thank you for that. It's been a pleasure to be here. You guys are great.
So I like usually to recap the story.
He does a great recap. I'm excited.
Of all of the you know, people on the show. Yeah. And I love your story as well. I mean, an 8-year-old who moves back to Bermuda with her family. And it's amazing how your parents open their house to strangers, how the island swells during the summertime. And you're just, that's an awesome experience to be able to meet new people and to be around that. And then all of a sudden one day going to New York City, I don't know what you were thinking, but that's okay. I mean, you know, we all make mistakes in life. You're there, you go to school, and then you meet your husband, you move back to the island. You work in corporate. I mean, you do not seem like an insurance person. I worked in reinsurance accounting at AIG years and years ago, and you do not seem like that type. So
my first job was at AIG in Bermuda.
Yes. And well, I can see how we're not doing that anymore. Thank God, right? Worked in there for 20 years. You did that for 20 years. And I love the way you step back. But, you know, the word retirement doesn't seem like it's in your vocabulary. And I love that, because you want to continue to give. You've learned a lot. You know, HR, it seems like it's your passion. From insurance going to HR, writing the book, Assemble the Tribe. And that's why I love to say, continue doing the work. What do you have left? And you've got a lot more years ahead of you as far as assembling many more tribes and helping other people's, you know, assemble their tribes. So, you know, best of luck to you. Thanks for being on the show. And, you know, we'll speak to you real soon.
Absolutely.
I love that recap. And please, I'm happy to come back. You guys are absolutely fantastic. Your listeners are very, very lucky to get to kind of drink in what you two share. It's really special. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, Leah. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.